one who conquers giants. You're the one who calls out kings. You shut the mouth of lions. You tell the dead to breathe. You're the one who walks through fire. You take the orphan's hand. You are the one Messiah. You are I am. You are I am. You're the one who conquers giants. You're the one who calls out kings. You shut the mouth of lions. You tell the dead to breathe. You're the one who walks through fire. You take the orphan's hand. You are the one Messiah.
Aren't you glad that Jesus is the great I am? Ia Asha Ia. He is the great I am. He is the bread of life. He is the resurrection in life. He is the way, the truth. Amen. He is our way to the Father. That's who Jesus Christ is. Glory. I love the worship songs tonight. I always do, but it just changed the direction of the entire service. And so I know the extra effort that Brother Justin and Brother Corey had to make to be here tonight. They had a lot on their plate, and I really appreciate them doing that. And I thank the Lord for them being faithful in that. Amen. While we were singing that second song, just I felt a strong unction to go and ask Brother Keith if he would share his testimony with us or whatever was on his heart, because he every time I've talked to him in the past few months, of course I've known him basically all my life, but I haven't really got to know him since me and him has been in this place. We've talked several times, and I always been very edifying and encouraging, but he was sharing with me what the Lord done in and through a service as him being a blood-washed vessel just recently. And I couldn't get that off my heart as we were worshiping the Lord and we were talking about us being redeemed. And you know, when you and I get redeemed, the Bible says, let us say so.
That's right. Amen.
And so we need to say so outside the church. We need to say so inside the church. But sometimes the church, we need to be stirred with what's happening right now. Sometimes we can get bogged down by everyday life. We can get bogged down by what we're hearing about at a distance. And I want us tonight to hear something that's very close to our heart. And let's just welcome Brother Keith and let him take his liberty. And let's be ready to hear. Amen.
We're all dependent upon the same Lord. This is what you call being instant in season and out, because I came here just to worship the Lord with y'all tonight and to just love on the Lord. But he's right. That song is particularly special to me. And I want to ask you tonight, do you see yourself redeemed? We need to see ourselves righteous by faith. I'm talking about seeing ourselves righteous. Because God has said that we're righteous. We're the righteousness of God by faith in Jesus Christ. We have promises in this word that we need to find and we need to cling to with all our heart. And I'm going to show you some of them that I have found for myself tonight. One particular one. But the first thing, I was just thinking about what Peter said. In the second Peter, I just want to read just a little here about what Peter said about something, because it bears witness with my spirit, and then I'm going to tell you about my testimony. In the first chapter, Second Peter, the 13th verse, let's go to the verse 12. He said, "Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, in his body, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed," I love this, this is why I've read all that to read this, "we have not followed cunningly devised fables, when we have made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty." Folks, I've never laid eyes on the Lord except the Jesus that I see in you. I've never heard him speak audibly, but I have felt his tug and his unction in my heart. And I'm an eyewitness myself. I'm an eyewitness of what the power and the love of God and the grace of God can do in a man's life to set him free. I'm an eyewitness. My family is an eyewitness. I have friends that are an eyewitness that knew me then and now. And I have dear friends that are not loving on the Lord that they cannot deny what has happened to me. I've still got struggles just like all of y'all. There's certain things I struggle with, but there's two things that I no longer struggle with. And one of them is a drug called meth, and the other one is grief over the death of my son. Those two things I no longer struggle with. There's plenty of things I still have to, I'm still renewing my mind to the Word of God. And I'm doing it at a rapid pace because I'm in the Word every day, and I have a relationship and fellowship with God daily. I speak to Him just like I'm speaking to y'all. But I encourage you, if there's something in your life that is beating you down, that's taking the life out of you, I want to share that about the young lady at the Houston. I recently shared this testimony at a Assembly of God church in Houston, Arkansas. And we had a wonderful service. There was a group of guys there from a drug rehab center where you can actually go check in and stay there for like up to a year. But they're also getting these guys born again and getting Jesus in the mix. And so the power of God is involved in this deliverance, that they're also teaching them how to overcome. But these guys showed up. We had a wonderful service. I've never seen anything like it. The hunger and thirst for Christ. And you know, it says those that hunger and thirst for righteousness will be filled. And I believe they were all filled, because at the altar service, the whole building was empty. It was all at the altar. I've never seen anything like it. It was amazing to me. I prayed for a bunch, and the other pastor, he prayed for a bunch. But there was one lady that stuck out to me, and they introduced her to me. One of the fellows that ministers there introduced her and said, "This is my sister-in-law, and she has lost her husband to suicide recently." And she has been a beautiful woman, and looks like the life has been beat completely out of her. There was no joy. There was no peace. Just beat down, harsh looking. And my heart just broke for her. But I didn't know the whole story. And she kept lingering, and I said, would you like for me to pray for you? And she said, yes. And I said, well, I'm going to ask God to do for you what he did for me and heal your broken heart. And she looked me square in the eye. She was not with the rehab center. And she said, and for this addiction that I can be free of. And she said, and for this oppression that's got a hold of me. So I spoke to those issues in the name of Jesus and bound those spirits of oppression and depression and that spirit of addiction in the name of Jesus for her to be free. And I believe that she is. She certainly got help now where she didn't have it. But that blessed me to be able to minister to her and to reach her heart and for her to be honest with me and to be honest with God so she could get some help. We've got to be honest, people. I can't stomach listening to somebody stepping up here and saying, I've got my act together. Let me tell you something. You don't hold up, I have not sinned in a week to God. You hold up Jesus. Righteousness and sinlessness are two different things. So, by the grace of God, we are saved through faith in Jesus Christ. I was born with a silver spoon in hand, if you know what I'm saying. I had a wonderful mom and dad that loved me. I never had lack for anything growing up. Had a wonderful childhood. Mom whipped me every Sunday morning and made me go to church. At about 13 years old, thank God for the Methodist and for the Church of Christ and the Presbyterian. We're all believing on the same Jesus for salvation. We had a spirit-filled pastor, Paul Gramlich. I don't know if you remember him or not, but he was a spirit-filled Methodist pastor for just a short period of time. He had a wonderful altar call, and they played How Great Thou Art, How Thou Art one morning, and it tugged on my heart, and I went to the front, and I gave my heart away to the Lord. I belonged to the Lord at that point. I never have been able to re-give my heart away, but I've given my life away. There's two different things. But that grace that saved me that has lasted until now was not in vain. Paul said, in vain, he said, therefore I labored more abundantly than... He said, yet not I, but the grace that was with me. The grace that's with me is the one doing the talking now. Because I have been redeemed and I'm thankful to God for it. But I got saved at that Methodist church and I grew up and just grew up, no knowledge. And Peter addresses knowledge. He addresses knowledge in that second epistle there. And he said, you know, grace and peace are multiplied when you add knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So what I lacked was knowledge. Well, I got married to a pastor's daughter of a very prominent church in Russellville, and I was in the pastor's family. I was in there about 12 years worth. Had two wonderful children. I was at church every time the doors were open. And Susan, the mother of my children, and I, we were growing apart, sitting right there on the pew. I was working. She was doing her thing. We didn't have relationship because we weren't having fellowship with God. We were filling a church pew. We had a relationship through the blood of Jesus and believing on Him, but you must fellowship with God to get some help in this life. If you're not fellowshipping, you may be saved, but you'll be beat down through this entire life. So, I heard a message by Charles Capps when I was about 21 years old. Grace through faith. And somehow, I held on to that, what I had learned. I wore that cassette tape out because there was something in there that let me know that God loved me regardless. He loved me enough to send Jesus to die regardless of what I had done. And let me tell you, as I grew up and grew away from all that, I tried to kill that tug on my heart with alcohol, and then later on, Susan and I wound up divorced, and that divorce sent me in a tailspin because I felt like I had failed in life everything I had ever worked for till I was 29 years old. And I was successful as far as people talking about, you know, being able to pay your bills and have a truck and car and the family fed and all this. I was successful in my horseshoeing business that I was in. Very successful. Very good at what I did. But there was no joy. There was no peace. There was no fellowship with God. No longing except for that tug now and then I'd feel on my heart. You're not supposed to be here. It was conviction. It was the Holy Ghost convicting me because I still belonged to God. Although I had seemingly run off 100 miles away, when I found out the further I got, the closer God was. The further I was, the closer He got. Because when I got to the very bottom, He was the only one there. So after Susan and I's divorce, like I said, I felt like a failure, and it just went into a tailspin of destruction in my life. It wasn't 2 months until I traded the alcohol for a drug most of you would know as methamphetamine. I wouldn't be surprised if most of you don't know somebody that's addicted to something. Most of you probably know somebody that is. Y'all might be addicted to something. I don't know, but most of us have something that is a stronghold of sorts in our life. But I got on the meth, and I liked it. It suited me. I could go wide open for days at a time. You know, I've always been real laid back, real easy going, and it made me feel different. And it got its hooks in me. And in 2010, my cousin, that was like my brother, was killed in a car accident at 35 years old. And that poured fuel on the fire of the addiction. And went through another couple divorces, just like I said, it was a tailspin, just like that. Just things were going by. Life was going by. Life was going by, and I was dying. In 2012, one of my best friend's wife got killed in a freak horse accident, 28 years old. I couldn't hardly take it. I thought, oh, my Lord, what is going on here? I had a picture of both my cousin and her in it. And now both of them are gone. And I thought, Lord, I don't know. And I would talk to the Lord. I mean, I still talked to the Lord, even though I was messed up. I still talked to the Lord. I still loved my family, but I could not help myself. Could not help myself, it seemed. I began, you know, at times I'd try to quit. I'd clean up for a week, a month, 2 months or something. A bad day come along, and I'd go right back to the drug dealer. Well, in 2013, many of you are familiar with it. Most of you know this, if you know me at all. But my son was the one killed at Arkansas Nuclear One. A million-pound object hooked to a crane fell. The crane fell. It leg gave way. And that beam on that crane hit him. It's common belief by many people on the scene that he gave his life for someone else. We have no proof of that, but I believe that he would have. But I cannot tell you the iron workers that came to me after. This was a rough bunch of guys that he worked with, but my son was born again. We had a video of him getting saved, getting baptized. That brought me peace. That brought me much peace. What brought me even more peace is these guys came to me and they said, your son left a testimony right here. His heart had laid on that beam for 2 weeks while they had that area roped off while they were doing the crime scene investigation and all that. And said his heart had not only laid there, so did his testimony that he laid down his life for another. And said he was the only one on our crew of 12 that was ready to go. You think about that. The one that left the building was the only one ready to go. You're telling me that God don't have this deal figured out? At least three of these guys, now one of them ministering, two of the others I know are all believing on Jesus for salvation. God's got a better plan than us. It was choices made by men that killed my son, including his own. It was Easter Sunday. Think about that. Our Lord and Savior was resurrected on Easter. What we celebrated that way. So was my son. Both of them were resurrected on the same day. That death of my son was supposed to kill me also. Satan already had me in his playground. He thought, I get the boy, I've got the dad. But you see, God knows what's in a man when he don't know himself. You put enough pressure on something, you'll find out what's in him. I'd had all I could take. And about 3 years after, or about 2.5 years after Wade's death, the addiction had got so strong, and I mean I had got to the end of my rope. I told the Lord, I said, I cannot take any more. I said, Lord, I said, I need relief here. And we had just started going to Scottsville. This is about 2.5 years ago. We just started going to Scottsville, and Easter morning rolled around. And Brother Terry Shadden, he's a great worshiper. He stepped out of his seat. We were worshiping, having a wonderful worship service, and he walks up to the front. He put his hands in the air, and I punched that person next to me, and I said, let me out of here. If there's anything up there for him, there is for me. I said, I'm looking for help. Because I could not help myself, I had become a professional quitter. I couldn't stay quit. I quit every week. I'm done. 36 hours, I'd be back at the drug dealers. But I had began to look into the Word of God to find help, because there was something still in me that was a seed that had been planted, that was incorruptible, that was about to sprout. God said, it's time for this seed to come up. I've got a man that's willing to trust me with everything, including his life, including the life of his son. He's willing to trust me. But I had a place in my barn where I hid from most of the world, and I knew I wasn't hiding from God. And I can remember sitting there with a pipe in my hand. I said, Lord, I know I'm not hiding this from you, but I can't help myself. But if you can help me, I'm ready. And I began to get into the Word of God. There was something changed on that Easter morning when I lowered my pride. And I stepped out and I said, I don't care who sees me. God, I need you. I need you. And I unashamedly worship God. I'm a flamboyant worshiper. Because he that's been forgiven the most loves the most. Jesus asked him, he said, who loves the most, the one who's been forgiven of much or the one who's been forgiven of little? They said, the one who's been forgiven of much. He said, you've answered correctly. So time rocked on there, and I began to look into the Scripture and find me a promise that I could hold to. And I found it, Luke 4:18. I'm going to practice this on you. I've been working on this for a while. But Jesus was in the synagogue on the Sabbath, as was his custom. He stood up for to read, and they handed him the book of Isaiah. It's where it was open to. And he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Said he closed the book, gave it again to the minister, and sat down. All the eyes of them in the synagogue were upon him. And he began to speak, and he said, this day is the Scripture fulfilled in your ears. And I said, Lord, I have found myself in your word. Now check this out. Jesus looked in this Scripture and found out who he was. And so have I. I am redeemed. I am a child of God. I've been made righteous through faith. I have been delivered from a broken heart. I was the captive that was set free. You could say I was blind, and now I see. I see what God's grace is all about. He has He has set me free. But I'm sitting there and I look at the wall of my barn and I see the scripture. I said, Father, I see myself in here and I believe what you said about me. And I want to ask you, do you believe what God has said about you? Do you believe when you see? He said, let the redeemed say so. I am redeemed. I rehearse it regularly. Let me tell you how I start my day. I start my day like this. When my eyes open, I say, Father God, I thank you that I am your righteousness through faith in Christ Jesus, that all the blessings and promises of the righteous man belong to me. That's how I start my day. What I'm doing is I'm rehearsing something to make it part of me, where it is my nature, not second nature, but my nature, to believe what God said about me more than I believe what I say about me. But I say about me what God said about me, and it becomes part of me. It becomes faith. And he said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed. He didn't say if you had faith as big as a mountain, you could move a mustard seed. He said, if you had faith as a mustard seed, you'd say, the mountain. So I began to declare this promise over me. I said, Father, I thank you that you have healed on that cross. You healed my broken heart. I'm receiving it by faith. I said, Father, I see that I'm a captive to a drug I can't quit, and I'm calling myself freed in the name of Jesus. I rehearsed this for quite a while, probably a couple months. Every time I'd go out there, and conviction was so strong. I mean, God was on the move. The Spirit of God was dealing with me. He was dealing with me, showing me that regardless of what you've done, I love you. I love you. I could hear it in my spirit. I love you. I loved you enough while you were a sinner to die for you and set you free. You are free. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. So this scripture became part of me. It is my anchor to deliverance of a broken heart and from drugs. I always go to it. I look at it. There's not very many days that I don't go through and look at it. And I can quote it, but I still go look at it because I like looking at it. I love looking into the Word of God and into the perfect law of liberty in Christ Jesus, because my struggle is not with sin. It's been paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ through faith in Him. My sin has been paid for. If you accept anything less than total and complete forgiveness, if you're a believer, you have cheapened the blood of Jesus Christ and you've neglected the grace of God. We have been cleansed from all unrighteousness. Our sins have been forgiven. We need to know that we are forgiven, because it just shows you how much God loves you. But I could feel His love. I could physically feel His warm embrace, that I love you, I know you're struggling, and I have set you free. So what I did is I believed God. I got pride out of the way, and I said, Father, I believe what you said about me, and I'm going to say what you said about me. So it became part of me, and I said, Father, I said, if you can help me. This was June 6th of 2016. Check this out, a slap in the face to the enemy. 6-6-16. It was easy to remember. That was just one number extra there. I said, Father, well, let me back up just a little. I had been working that day, and I went by my drug dealers, and I picked up a sack of dope, the $100 sack of dope. I didn't have the money for it. She said, you can pay me later. I took it home and opened it up, and it was sitting there on that counter in front of me, and I looked over at them scriptures, and I'm telling you, I don't know how much more you could be convicted than what I was that day. And I tied that sack of dope back up. And I said, Father, if you can help me, I'm ready. because I cannot take any more. I'm absolutely done with me. Because me, I can put no confidence in. I put my confidence in that cross. The cross is where it's at, folks. If you can't see anything else, just take a look back to the cross, because there's freedom provided right there. So I'm convicted about this, and I'm thinking, I'm not doing this dope. I busted the pipe. I stuck it in the trash, busted. I said, Father, if you can help me, I'm ready. Today's the day. And I took that dope, and I went by the bank. I got the $100 out, because I didn't want there to be any doubt that we were square when I left there. And I pulled up in her yard, and she had a bunch of dope heads like myself there. And I said, come here a minute. I said, I need to talk to you. And she said, all right, what's something wrong? I said, yeah. I said, it is. I said, I've been trying to hide this from everybody that I love, and it's killing me. And I said, I see in the Word of God, I could have walked on water by the time I got to her house. The Spirit of God had already moved. I said, the Word of God says there's a cup of cursing, a cup of blessing. Life and death are set before you. Choose life. And I said, I'm choosing life today. I said, I'll never be back. I said, I'm trusting God. I'm going that direction. I said, I won't be back. So when I left there, I rolled my window down as I was driving away from her house. And I said, Father, I thank you that I'm free. I've never been more free of any two things in my life, and that's the drugs and the grief. I said, Father, I thank you that I'm free. That's the only time I've ever left her house when I didn't feel guilty, condemned, ashamed, and fearful. All the things that Satan loves to use to keep you down. But this day, there was joy, there was peace, there was love. Folks, I'm telling you, that was nearly two and a half, a little over, maybe not two and a half, but close to 2.5 years ago, when God dried my tears up, the torment of my son's death was gone, and I sat in front of a group of lawyers not long ago. We had a five-year-long lawsuit going, and I sat before a group of lawyers a while ago, and they asked me, they said, this is our job, and we hate to ask, but there was about 10 of them. They all wanted to hear what I had to say. They said, we need to know, this part of our job, how you're dealing with the death of your son. I said, I've been praying in the Holy Ghost for an hour. I said, I thought you would never ask. And they said, oh, okay. I said, God has given me so much confidence in where my son is at and where I'm going that it brings me peace. I said, it's just like he's in Memphis, and in a few days I'm going to see him. And I rejoice at that. The Spirit of God was talking. It wasn't me that was talking. I said those words, but the Spirit of God was moving in that room, because two of those lawyers began to cry. My lawyer began to cry, and he said, let's go outside. We went outside. He said, I have never seen anything like that in my life. I handle these cases all the time. I've never seen. I said, when I told you God healed me and set me free, that's what I meant. He delivered me. I said, there's no grief left here. I miss my boy. I miss my son. But the torment of his death no longer abides in this human being. But that accident that was meant to kill him and me, all of my family don't have what I've got when it comes to this peace. It was supernatural what happened to me. It was supernatural, the deliverance from the drug. It was supernatural, the deliverance from the grief to me was bigger than the drugs. Because if I hadn't have got rid of the grief, I would have still been on the dope. I'd have been trying to kill that pain with something. But God delivered me of that. And I'm forever thankful. There's more to the story than that. 2 weeks ago, I told her I'd never be back. 2 weeks ago, there was a knock on my door. I'd been fasting. I fasted 2 days. I'm not a big faster, but for whatever reason, I felt like I needed to fast. I fasted 2 days. There was a knock on my door about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and it was my old drug dealer. And she said, "Gonna come in?" I said, "Yeah, come on in." And my wife was there. And she said, "Well, how's everything going? Yada, yada, yada," you know, small talk. And she began to cry. And she said, "Keith, what must I do to have what you've got?" Glory to God. Christ in us, the hope of glory. She can't deny. See, even she is an eyewitness of God's majesty and what Jesus can do in a man's life. See, it was supernatural to me, but it was just natural to God. That's what He does. That's what He naturally does. I've got a saying that God gave me. I know He did. It's not about quitting. It's about starting with Jesus. It doesn't matter what it is. It's not about quitting. It's about starting with Jesus. Because all my hope is in Jesus and that cross that He took for me. So, this lady, I talked to her for a few minutes. She said, "What must I do?" And I said, "Well, the first thing I need to know," I said, "are you believing on Jesus for salvation?" And she said, "Yes, I am." I said, "Okay, you're a child of God. So now what you need to do is renew your mind to what this word says about you." See, that's what I was missing for all those years, is my mind had not been renewed to the word of God. I was not hungry and thirsty for righteousness. So I wasn't filled. But when I got hungry and thirsty, I got filled. The children of Israel, over and over, had to get to the very bottom of defeat before they looked up. And many times in the past, I thought, they were so stupid. They were so stupid. They wandered around the wilderness 40 years. Stupid. God done told them this. I was one of them. I was one of them that wandered around in the wilderness for 40 years. Because the promises of God are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when I got to thinking about that, I thought, you know, we're all guilty of nailing Him to the cross. You think about that. It was us that He was nailed to the cross for. But it was also us that He redeemed. And I thank God that I have been redeemed. And I have been set free. I tell this story in a lot of places. And I see a lot of people get hope. And I'm thankful to God for taking my son home and taking me home. I hold to this life so loosely. My wife's like, "I wish you wouldn't say that." I hold to this life loosely because my confidence is that I have life everlasting. Jesus said, "I have a commandment, and it's life everlasting." Praise God. That's what He come to give us, and I just thank God for it. And I thank y'all for the opportunity. I wasn't planning on coming sharing this tonight, but I love sharing it, and I appreciate it, Greg. I appreciate it very much. Is there anybody that needs prayer for anything here tonight? Prayer for healing? Deliverance? Everybody here saved. I fear you are on a Wednesday night. All my hope is in Jesus. It's my favorite song in the world. But that's where I have put all of my hope and my trust, is in what the Lord's done, not what I'm able to do.